Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I am so glad you are here with us for another episode. My name is Jeremy, and I'm one of the Lifeway Kids publishing managers, and I am so glad to be with you on another episode. This week, I have a friend of mine, a colleague, Kimba Campbell, who is part of the Bible Studies for Life Kids team. And Kimba, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
Man, I am doing great. At the time of this recording, we have just come out of the big snowpocalypse that we had here in the Nashville area, and things are starting to melt. Did you guys get to play in that snow at all in your at your house?
Absolutely. I have three boys, ages 10, 13, and 15. So they were out playing there every day.
Yeah.
I think they went sledding 6 days in a row, which is unusual here in Tennessee to do that often.
Yeah, it is. Where the boys, so the sledding is a big deal. And some of it was really good for sledding. I know we had the ice first, and then, that was really fun for sledding. And then you had the snow kind of come in behind it. Your guys doing any of the snowmen or snow forts or any of those kind of things, or do they just stick mostly just with the sledding?
Mostly sledding. My youngest did make a snowman with a couple of his friends in the neighborhood, and it was really cute. They actually put a mask on the snowman.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that is so 2020, yeah. 21 snowman right there with the mask on.
Yeah, he was representing all of our social distancing and quarantine lifestyle, the quarantine snowman. That's good. We built a few snowmen in my yard, but I never once thought to put a mask on it. So that's creative. That's fun.
It was awesome. Yeah, they had a good time. I've loved the snow. It was a great week, but yeah. I'm ready for spring now.
Yeah. So my wife, she likes to look at it, but she doesn't like the cold weather. She doesn't like that. So I would say what we just went through was probably our, now I'm pretty much a Southern boy. I spent most of my time either here in the Middle Tennessee area or out in Texas. And those guys got hit pretty bad and are praying, continue to pray for those churches. Power's restored and water and all of those things. They really, had quite a tragedy out there. But most of my time has been in in Texas and Tennessee. And so we haven't had a lot of this kind of weather. My wife was, we were talking about it last week, and what we experienced is probably, I would say, my second favorite kind of weather. I just love it. I love the snow. I love the ice. I love the way it looks. I love the cold temperatures. I just love, and I love to look at it. It doesn't scare me to drive in it. Like I enjoy it so much. So it's probably my second favorite, kind of weather of all time. What about you? So are you comfortable driving in it or?
No.
No, not at all.
In fact, I hate driving it. In fact, yesterday was my first day to drive in it, you know, a week.
Yeah.
I drove to church, so I ventured out and went to church. But,
yeah.
You know, the main roads now are clear, but our neighborhood is still pretty icy. So yeah. no school today for kids.
Yeah.
But I get too nervous.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. My wife's like that. Can't recall a time when she's ever driven in snow or ice. She just, like, if it flurries, she'll park her car and say, I'm not getting out. She's that sensitive about it. I love it. I'm not quite so extreme though. So I'll say this is the last thing and then we can move on to our topic, but I'm not so extreme. Like, I have a brother-in-law, like every snow and ice event we've ever had, he's about 10 years older than me. And so he's kind of been part of our family for a long time. He's my wife's sister's brother, and he is the one who's always out. Like, he will, as soon as it starts getting slick, he's the first one out in some parking lot somewhere cutting donuts. And he drove by, I saw him drive by down the road the other day, and he didn't actually, I was at my parents' house, he didn't see me, but he was coming in, and he immediately on purpose just starts like sliding his truck, fishtailing back and forth. And that's just, I'm not quite that.
No.
But I don't mind driving in it, and I'm comfortable doing that if needed. Hey, today we are here to talk about building a solid foundation of curriculum. That's in our teaching hours. That's what we want to talk about today in the midst of the pandemic. We know so many of our listeners have really kind of hit a wall, so to speak, and they use that as an opportunity to take a fresh and critical look at their resources and what resources they're using and how they're using the time that they have to teach and to lead and to disciple kids. And it's such, sometimes we just need that. We just need to build into our rhythm time to stop and to evaluate. And I think that's so healthy. And so that's our topic today. And so I want us to talk through, a few questions that maybe we can help our listeners who are struggling with or struggling with this evaluation on their own, in their own ministries, or maybe they haven't even had this check in a while where they stopped and looked. And so we want to talk through some of those questions. The first we'll start off is this important? I mentioned that I think it is important. So I've kind of already laid my cards on the table, but, why is it important for us to take a fresh look and evaluate, how we're using our teaching time with kids?
I think it is so crucial because just like, I know during this season of COVID, I think all of us have always just evaluated our own personal lives, you know, on what are we doing in our own life and our own families. I know my husband and I have sat down with COVID and thought about, okay, what does our schedules look like, and evaluating how much time we're spending as a family and all of that. So just like we are doing that with our own families and your own personal lives, I think it is so crucial to do that in your children's ministry as well. Just to really look about what are you doing with your ministry and where do you see your ministry going? And it's such a great time to just sit down and reflect on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. This particular season we've been in, when everything's kind of uprooted, it's a natural point. And as I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of us did that automatically when we started thinking about, well, we already knew we had a limited number of hours, a limited time with kids when we were pre-March 2020, and we knew kids were coming to church less. So we were already kind of being primed to think about how do we get real strategic about the way we use our time. But I think this last year or so, since March 2020, I think we have felt that, and even at a greater extent, because now we're not seeing kids. So now it's all about, if I get one shot on a Zoom call or one shot on a Skype call or a YouTube video or some sort of virtual gathering, when I'm sending home to my parents, how do I make all of whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's one thing or two or three things, whatever that is, it's just provided a natural time for us to look. And it is important for us to do that. And another reason I'll add in here as to why is that sometimes a lot of kids ministry leaders, we inherit whatever happened before us. And so sometimes we just kind of get a little stale and comfortable. We've always used this, or, and we don't really think about, is it helpful to us? Is it the best thing that we can be using? Is it really meet the goals of for the success that we're trying to have in our ministry? We don't regularly ask ourselves those questions on things that we would say are quote unquote going well. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if our curriculum's working and we're not having, parents fuss at us or leaders fuss at us or kid, you know, bored all the time, then we feel like we probably don't need to take a look at it.
I totally agree. I know that I've been a children's preschool minister for 18 years, and I know that I caught myself just being stuck sometimes, you know, repeating, doing the same thing that I've always done. You know, okay, we did this last year. Oh, we're just going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I think that because with COVID, that has completely changed how we have done things. Like you said, we don't see kids. They might not be, you know, even coming to church. I know I teach a fourth and fifth grade girls, and there's been some kids that have not been an entire year, and they were some of our regular families. And so I think it's just so crucial to be able to evaluate, okay, what are we doing and what do we need to change, instead of just getting stuck in what we've always done.
Yeah. And I think that the encouragement in that is that it's not wrong to keep doing what you've always done, but it's good for us to stop and remember why we did it in the first place. Because if we don't pause from time to time, we're just kind of going through the motions. But we may go through some sort of process to evaluate it and look at some kind of standard, and we go, you know what, this really is the best thing that we need to be doing. And if that's the conclusion you draw and you keep doing what you've always done, that's great. But it's been healthy for you to stop and look and to pause. And so those are all really, in my opinion, some really great things that we need to just pause and take a look at it. But I mentioned standards, so let's talk about that. If we're going to use this if we're going to take time to evaluate, we need to have some sort of measurement criteria. How do you think we should use some sort of criteria? What do you think that should be?
I think it comes down to, first of all, evaluate your mission statement. Look at your mission statement as the whole church. And then how does your children's ministry fit into that mission statement church-wide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also just look at your core values. You know, where do you see the direction going? And I think, first of all, though, before you evaluate and all of that, is spend time in prayer.
That's good.
You know, yeah. This ministry is the Lord's. And, you know, I have the tendency to, and I've always struggled with this, like I have this idea and I just go. And then God catches me and says, you know what? You need to spend time with me, you know, and ask for wisdom, ask, you know, for guidance. And he's going to be faithful and he will reveal to you. So if you're even struggling with what does your mission statement look like? What does your core values look like? I encourage you to get in your word, get on your knees, spend time in prayer and just ask the Lord, where does he want your ministry to go? Where is he calling you and where is he gifting you to take your ministry to the next level?
Well, so that's so good. I want to jump in on that because I think we miss that sometimes. And I say this in a lot of training events that I lead, where sometimes we forget that what we're doing is in ministry in general and in kids ministry in general. And whether it's Sunday school or life group or small group or kids worship or whatever, midweek, whatever you call it or whatever time slot, sometimes we just forget that what we're doing is a spiritual activity and we need to bring spiritual weapons to the fight. And mm-hmm. just because things are going well and there's you know, no squeaky wheels or anything like that doesn't mean that we need to just let it go. We need to consider what's happening and we need to, I love that comment. We need to stop and pray. We need to always, always, always seek the Lord on, what he's calling us to do, what is he impressing on our hearts to be our mission and our vision? And again, like you said, how does it line up with church? And so I want to pause there for a second because I think that's so important. We can't miss that. Many of us have heard things where we say we teach out of the overflow of our heart. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but it's for kids ministries in general, it is so tempting, for us to just fall into a routine. Really, there's two extremes. One is to fall into a routine and just kind of mindlessly go through and repeating what we've always done. And so we're not really giving great care to the curriculum we're teaching, the programming we have, and we just kind of go through the motions. And ultimately, what we're saying is, I'm just going to do this kind of in the peripheral of my mind. I'm just going to go through the motions and I'm going to do ministry in my own strength. Mm-hmm. There's a flip side of that, which is the other extreme, which is we're trying to recreate everything every single week. And we're trying to always do this big, flashy something every single week. And we spend so much time thinking about the presentation that sometimes in that extreme, sometimes we ignore the content itself. And so both of those can be pitfalls I think we need to consider. But both of them in different ways ultimately can lead us into this temptation of leading ministry in our own strength. And so I think what you said, prayer and Bible study bring us back to an equilibrium to say, God, where have you led me? That's been great. And then is working to reach out and minister to kids. And then also leads us to a place to say, okay, what can I do that would be different? And how can I look at this with a fresh set of eyes? And so I think prayer and Bible study, so, so helpful. That was a great comment. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree. And just getting back to the heart of why, you know, you mentioned earlier about our big why and, you know, why do we do what we do? And we do what we do because we want to make an eternal difference in the lives of kids. And just the crucial thing of looking back on your children's ministry and evaluating, like I said, your mission statement, your core values, seeing how your children's ministry lines up with the mission of the church, you know, working with the other staff, working together, and just seeing how specifically your teaching time, you know, where are you going? Where do you want these kids to learn? You know, you only have them, well, you know, on a regular basis, when we were going to church every week, you know, you only had them 52 weeks out of the year and half of that, kids don't come on a good chance, you know, that don't even now, I think a regular attender is considered every other week.
I saw something recently who said as less often as that's not the right word, but whatever. It's up, once a month is considered. Mm-hmm. So we're only seeing now, from what we saw in decades past, we may only be seeing them 25% of the time. If we're only seeing 1 hour a week, 1 hour a month, 1 hour a week, 1 hour a month, like that's an increasingly difficult amount of time. We need to focus our hearts and our minds on what are we teaching? What are we making sure they walk away with when they leave us, whether it's virtually or in person?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. What do we want them to walk away with? Bible truths, just instilling that scripture and the love for scripture, the love for God into their hearts. So we have a great task in front of us, but it's exciting as well.
It is. Before we leave this idea of evaluation, let's kind of come at it from a different angle. We talked about content, but what about just our ministry in general? Because there's more to the foundation of our ministry than just content. That's a big portion of it, and mm-hmm. we should put a lot of great thought into content. But what about the other parts of the areas of our emphasis? So are we ministering to parents? Are we discipling parents? Are we discipling volunteers? And we had some other podcasts in the last several weeks over some of those things, but that's important too, right? As part of the foundation of our ministry. What'd you say to that?
Absolutely, because you're one person. Yeah. And, God gives us a team. God, gives us the team of volunteers to work with, the church staff, the remainder of the church, and parents. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to evaluate, okay, how are you equipping and training these volunteers? How are you instilling that mission statement and the big why into their hearts so that they're excited when they come on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whenever you do church, that they are prepared and ready? How are you equipping them? And then also, how are you equipping parents? Because like we just said, kids are not coming to church like mm-hmm. they used to. And, we don't want their only biblical training to be the hour that they're at church. So how are we equipping parents and instilling what did their kids learn this past week in Sunday school or wherever? And then how do we encourage parents to take that training and to instill that in their homes on a weekly, daily basis? So I think our goal is to partner with parents in our ministry, but then also just to equip and lead and motivate volunteers as we're ministering to kids together.
Yeah, all of that's so needed. The parents, the volunteers, I've used this in my own ministry, philosophy of ministry, but I've often used it use the illustration of a table. Some people use it as a three-legged stool. I like a four-legged table for my illustration. And one leg is the kids, one leg is the parents, one leg is the volunteers, and one leg is the church at large. And I think that there's such strength in understanding that if we're going to lay a solid foundation for our ministry, really we need to be investing the appropriate amount of time in each of those areas. If the kid, like you said this, I think if the kids are only coming 1 hour a month, but they're still with their parents 100 and whatever hours, 168 hours a week, but they're only with us 1 hour a month. Well, that's substantially different amount of time. So are we proportionately investing in the parents accordingly? Because they're the ones who are leading out into in their families. And are we discipling them to help them in their own faith so that they can then also be equipped, not just to what they're telling their kids, but are they getting discipleship at their adult level, whatever they need? Mm-hmm. So much to that. That's so helpful. So let's shift for our last several minutes here. What kind of thing? So I brought you on to our podcast because Bible Studies for Life has a great, what we call a framework. It's built on the resources built on what's called levels of biblical learning. And these are sort of just these 10 big basic buckets of sound doctrine and theology that we can. So talk just a few minutes, help our listeners understand if they're not familiar with the levels of biblical learning, kind of introduce what it is and how that can help us be used as an evaluation tool of what kids are learning.
So I absolutely love this tool, Levels of Biblical Learning. It is a great framework for, like we mentioned, it's for kids, it's for parents, it's for volunteers, it's for the children's minister. So it is such a great, just to keep everyone on the same page on what do we want these children to learn from the times that they are babies all the way through high school. And I love that that's how it's basically divided up. Like you had said, there's 10 biblical concept areas, and then it's broken up and presented in 8 different age ranges, basically from infancy through high school. So it's a great tool. Just so everyone knows, the biblical concept areas, like I said, there's 10 of them. It's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Bible, salvation, creation, church, people, family, and community and world. And so what do we want these children to learn from in the crib, you know, from the nursery all the way up through high school? And so it's laying those foundations to each of these concepts. And it's kind of a example of this is just, you know, kids grow on such different levels, but it's just how do we take these concepts and develop them and build upon them? It's created to build upon.
Yeah.
So for example, as a preschooler, they'll learn, you know, Jesus loves me. Everyone, you know, knows that song, Jesus loves me. And then as they grow up, they start learning, okay, Jesus, you know, died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for me, and just taking that and building that foundation of faith all the way through high school.
And we need to do that. And so I think as we're evaluating our resources, evaluating our ministry, evaluating our content, one of the key parts of that is being either learn about or be reminded or being aware of kids in our ministries are at varying ages and stages developmentally. And so where do they fit and what can they learn about these in levels of biblical learning? Takes it, as we said, into 10 biblical concepts. How can we address an older preschool in this concept at for this particular thing at their age level? And the same thing at a preteen. How do we teach a preteen that same concept about who Jesus is at the preteen level? And so we need to be aware of that, and we will, our ministry will be strengthened by just being aware of those different ages and stages of the kids in our ministry. And that's so, so helpful. So it's a great place to start. If you have not looked at, you know, what do we want kids to know by the time that they get out of our ministry? If you're not asking those kinds of questions in your evaluation, the levels of biblical learning is a great place to start to say, man, here are some things that we want to make sure that we are helping, invest into the lives of the kids, the parents, the volunteers, all that we serve. And I think it's helpful to note too that while the Bible Studies for Life resources use this as the base level, as the foundation, the framework, the levels of biblical learning, it can be used independently of Bible Studies for Life. It can also be used. In fact, our other 3 ongoing curriculums feature this, and all of the Lifeway Kids resources feature levels of biblical learning in some capacity. Explore the Bible, the Gospel Project, Teen Kid, our Forged resources for preteens. Everything we do comes back to and bakes in levels of biblical learning in some capacity for each resource. But if you're using a different resource altogether, you can look at that resource through the levels of biblical learning as a lens, and it will very much help you in this evaluation of your ministry towards building a solid foundation. If you're not familiar with levels of biblical learning, you can find out more about that at lifeway.com/LOBL, lifeway.com/LOBL. And that will take you to the landing page for the levels of biblical learning. And that will help you become a little more familiar with that. There's some free downloads there. There's some apps you can take advantage of. All kinds of ways you can become familiar with these. There's also big, massive posters that you can purchase to put on your wall of your office just for reminders to your own self and things that you can look at. So encourage listeners to take a look at that. Also encourage listeners to take a look at lifeway.com/kidsministry-from-anywhere, KMFA, lifeway.com/KMFA. We have already talked about how kids are, some are coming, some are not coming to our ministries. We know that kids are in various places, and we cannot sit around and wait for the old normal to return. Rather, a new normal is emerging, and we need to actively embrace that and realize that the kids that we love and the kids that we serve are, they really could be literally anywhere. And our kids ministries need to go to wherever those kids are embrace them, to love them, to train them and disciple them. And we need to, as we mentioned, equip and empower parents, volunteers, leaders to do the same. You can find out, find a lot of helpful strategies, ebooks, training videos, and other types of resources for kids ministry from anywhere. Again, lifeway.com/KMFA will get you there. Kimba, thanks for joining me today. I think this has been such a helpful conversation for our listeners.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed being here.
Listeners, we will see you again on another episode. We appreciate you being here. It's always an honor to serve you, and we're excited to have the opportunity to partner with you and encourage you on this episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.